I invite you to turn with me in the Bible. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. This will be on the screen on your TV. It also, you can get your own Bible and read along with me. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can tell a lot about a person by looking at their motivations. Case in point is, in the story we just read, the expert in the law, the one who asked the questions to Jesus that led to him telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. It says right in the text that he asked the question not to learn. He asked it to test Jesus, to see if Jesus was orthodox enough, to see if somehow he could trip up this new teacher and expose him to be incompetent. Now, the first question that he asked Jesus was actually an easy one, a softball. He just kind of lobbed it in. What must a person do to inherit eternal life? Any educated Jew, especially any rabbi, would be able to answer with that summary of the law. Jesus wasn't the first person to notice it or to understand that. It was common knowledge among the teachers of the day. The second question was actually the one that was tough. And there was a lot of debate about this question in the rabbis of the day. Who is my neighbor? Because how you answer that depends on how you act and what you do. And most of the argumentation wasn't actually about who is my neighbor. It was actually, who is not my neighbor? I want to know who is not my neighbor so I know who it is I don't need to love, so I don't waste my time. I really like how Friedrich Buechner, one of my absolute favorite Christian writers, describes the way these people understood what their neighbor was in the minds of the law as they understood it. And it's this: a neighbor, herefore referred to as the party of the first part, shall be defined as meaning a person of Jewish descent whose legal residence is within a radius of no more than 3 statute miles from one's own legal residence, unless there is another person of Jewish descent, hereby referred to as the party of the second part, living closer to the party of the first part than one is oneself, in which case the party of the second part is to be construed as the neighbor of the party of the first part, and one is then relieved of all responsibility of any kind to matters hereunto appertaining. Not real lovey-dovey, not real warm. A neighbor, Jesus believes and Jesus taught, was very different from this. These people said a neighbor is someone who is familiar, someone who is similar to you, someone who is safe and not demanding. The expert in the law was looking for a loophole in the law, a way to get out of any kind of extreme or onerous requirement that this text in the Old Testament would give him. He said, please tell me who is not my neighbor so I can forget about them and can just love the people that I want to love. And Jesus wouldn't let him do that. Jesus wouldn't let him get away with that. And that is why Jesus told this story. He says, there is this guy who's traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he gets mugged, beat up, left for dead. And along come two religious types just like you, asker of the question. And these people, in all their righteousness and in all of their orthodoxy, they come along and they avert their eyes at the sight of the man. They don't stop. Actually, they go out of their way to avoid having to be in contact with him, and they leave him to die. And then along comes a Samaritan. The Samaritans, you understand, were people who were despised by the Jews. They were the sworn enemies. They couldn't stand each other. And even in the chapter before the telling of the Good Samaritan, Jesus goes into a Samaritan village, and the Samaritans reject him because he is Jewish. So Samaritans don't always come off looking good, but in this story, they are the exemplar of righteousness. This Samaritan comes along the road, sees the broken man on the side of the road, and he sees him and he has pity on him. He goes to him, he touches him, he administers first aid. He acts like he is an ambulance service, takes him on his own donkey and brings him to an inn and pays for his treatment and care. Now, at this point, you would expect Jesus to say this. So, who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is that poor soul on the side of the road. As a faithful follower of God and a believer in the way, you should not pass by those who are in need, but take responsibility for them. But interestingly, Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus asks instead, which of the three, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, which one is showing himself to be a neighbor? Who is the one that is showing exactly what a neighbor should be? And that would have stuck in the craw of this expert in the law. To have to say, well, yeah, the priest, he was no good. The Levite should be ashamed of himself. The one that we are to admire is the Samaritan, this hated person from a despised class. He is the good neighbor. And the priest, the Levite, people just like him, upstanding members of the Jewish religious order, were the bad neighbors. It bugged him so much that if you notice at the end of the story, he couldn't even say the word Samaritan. Jesus said, so which of these three was the true neighbor? And he said, well, the one who had mercy on him. He couldn't say it was the Samaritan. Clearly, it is not easy to be a good neighbor. It means that you have to be aware and alert, not only to the beautiful sunrise and the beauty of the earth, but to the brokenness within it. It means that you can't look away. You can't pretend that you don't see it. Being a good neighbor means that when you see that which is wrong, you have to get down into it and try to deal with it. It means that you have to be ready to give up time and money and convenience and your own agenda. But if you do those things, if you see your neighbor in need, and if you are obedient to the will of Christ and enter in and bless and serve, what happens is it makes you into the person that God desires you to be. The kind of person that when God thinks of you, that it puts a smile on the face of the Lord, because you are not only loving your God, you're loving your neighbor. It's easy to see that it's simpler to be a bad neighbor. And most people would prefer to be a bad neighbor. That priest and the Levite, they knew that if they were to come close and if they were to actually help this fellow, that they would be soiled by it. Now, before I became a minister, long ago, I worked as an ambulance attendant. And I went to lots of accident scenes and saw a lot of traumatized people. And I know that when you try to help somebody who has been traumatized, that you get bloodied up yourself. They didn't want that. They wanted to stay pure and clean. The priest and the Levite not only didn't want to get soiled, they didn't want to be inconvenienced. And the person hearing this story originally would have thought that priest was going to Jerusalem to serve in the temple and the priests out in the country. Remember the story of Zechariah? Anyway, that they would be given an honor rotation. It might only happen once in their life that they would have the privilege of serving as priests in the temple. If he had stopped to help this man, maybe he would have missed his chance to serve. And the Levite, if he helped this man, and if he had died, and it looked like he very well might, then he would have become ceremonially unclean and not permitted to serve in the religious functions. He would have become professionally awkward and inconvenienced. Well, the priest and the Levite, they weren't out anything because they decided to pass by on the other side. They weren't out time, they weren't out money, they weren't out energy. But most surely, they were diminished. I would say even in their own estimation, they were diminished. As they avoided helping some poor man broken on the side of the road, how could they have felt about themselves? They must have had guilt. They must have felt besmirched in their own eyes by that. But most certainly, and even more tragically, They were reduced in the eyes of God because they did not keep the law as God has asked and instructed us to do. They did not love their neighbor as they loved themselves. If you'd asked that priest, if you'd asked that Levite, if you were the one who got mugged and were left broken on the side of the road, would you hope that someone would help you? And you'd say, of course I do. Well, if you want that for yourself, then do that for your neighbor. You know, there is something I know. I, as a pastor of this church, of Christ Church, and the elders and deacons of this church, I know that they would agree, we all want God's people to be good Samaritans. That is to say, we want you to be a good neighbor. And for a bunch of reasons that are revealed in this story, we want that for you because that is God's wish and command for us. We want that because it's a powerful way to be a blessing to those around us, both within the household of faith and those that are outside of it. Because you, as a follower, as a disciple of Jesus, will be tremendously, personally, powerfully blessed by being someone who is in tune with the Spirit and makes other people's lives better. So when people ask you, when they say, "So, who is my neighbor?" May they say your name. May they know that you are a follower of the Lord and listening to his voice, being transformed by his Spirit so that you love your neighbor as yourself. Thanks be to God. Amen.